We are continuing today with the fifth lesson of six lessons devoted to the topic of Jesus, our Savior, Lord, and example. The second version of these lessons under this particular title. And we have looked at in part one of two last week, or a few days ago, the idea that loving God by obeying Him determines how we should love our neighbor. Jesus loved the Father perfectly, obeying all of His will. And so Jesus loved humanity perfectly. He loved the lost by teaching them the truth. He showed mercy and compassion by feeding the hungry. He showed mercy and compassion by healing various individuals. Jesus also showed compassion for the grieving by raising a son from the dead and raising several people from the dead, including Lazarus. Jesus' greatest display of love, dying on the cross for our sins. No greater love has ever been shown regarding humanity than the sacrificial death of Jesus. We receive forgiveness when faith leads to repentance and baptism. When we become children of God, baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, and we continue to be forgiven as we repent, confess our sins, and pray for forgiveness. That is, as Christians, that we may continue in relationship with God. Now we go forward today with the idea that is stated in the Scriptures. We are to love one another as Jesus has loved us. Instead of following misguided but well-intended emotions, we have Jesus' perfect example of love to imitate, and His love ultimately displayed on the cross was willing, sacrificial, selfless action for the needs of others. That is, it was voluntary, and it was sacrificial, and it pointed to what others needed, especially in a spiritual sense. In the New Testament, the character and conduct of the Christian's love is clearly defined, and it is based upon that example of Jesus. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." John 15:13, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, the sins of the world, and all of that done voluntarily. John 10 and verse 17 and 18, "For this reason," Jesus said, "the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." So Jesus voluntarily went to the cross so that we might be saved from our sins. And we are to pattern our love for one another based upon how Jesus has loved us. Jesus said as much the night before he died for our sins as he was washing the feet, had washed the feet of his apostles, the 12. And he spoke to them after doing that night, hours before he would leave and be arrested and go through several unfair trials before being handed over to Pilate and being crucified. John 13:34, he said, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Very strong statement there. This would be one of the indicators of how men may know that we are Jesus' disciples or followers, learners, imitators. They will see the love that we have for one another. John 15:8, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me," Jesus said, "I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." So Jesus makes it very clear that we are to love one another, a selfless, sacrificial, willing love toward each other. In 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul wrote about this love that was not being expressed by the Corinthians regarding how they were treating one another. And we find him describing for them and for us how they were to love one another, which they were not doing. They were promoting self and envying and one another and being jealous toward one another, and they were in strife against one another. 1 Corinthians 13:1, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing." So Paul makes the statement that I can do many things that would be notable, and people would be perceiving those as great things in the service of Christ, but if I do not do it because of love for God and love for others, then it profits me nothing. So God is concerned not only with what we do, but why we do it. And it should be done out of love. Love is patient, is long-suffering, Paul writes. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own. Is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is how love is to behave, and this is how we are to live in this life. Ephesians 5 and verse 1 and 2, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So we are to love one another. How are we to love one another? By speaking and doing those things that a Christian should do to show love as God has indicated to us. All love is based upon speaking truth to one another from the Word of God. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Speaking the truth to one another, we are to love one another. This happens when we are in our assemblies together, worshiping and studying the Word of God together and praying together, contributing to the needs of the saints and the support of preachers, partaking of the Lord's Supper together each Sunday, remembering the Lord's death until he comes again, encouraging each other to act in love and good deeds as we, even when we're apart from one another. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We are not only to show love toward one another in our assembling together to worship and build each other up in the faith, singing together, worshiping together, praying together, giving together. But husbands are to show love toward their wives, sacrificing themselves for the good of their wife and family. Ephesians 5 and verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and and blameless. So we are to show love for the wife as God through Christ has shown love for the church by purchasing them with his, that group of saved people with his blood. We are to serve one another in love by meeting the physical needs of one another and not turning a blind eye or a deaf ear toward those who are in need and for whatever reason cannot provide for themselves those daily needs that we all many times take for granted. 1 John 3 and verse 16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, that is Jesus. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. So we are to love one another even in meeting physical needs and not neglect those acts of love that, and if we do neglect them, then we are not loving as God would have us love. And regarding things that are indifferent to God, eating foods and remembering days, we are to accept one another and not lead each other to do what they believe would be sinful, even though it may be right. We might have the liberty to eat certain things like pork, but if somebody believes that is wrong, we should not entice or coerce them in any way to go against their conscience until they have come to that decision out of a desire to please God based upon his word. We are to display love by not making weak brethren stumble, that is, leading them into doing something that they may believe is wrong, even though they have the freedom to do it, but they don't know that. And so they do it doubting that they are doing the right thing. So it is wrong for them to do, and it is wrong for us to influence them to do that in their state of faith. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1, now concerning things, Paul said, sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. Verse 10, where if someone sees you who have knowledge dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? For through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined, the brother for whose sake Christ died. So we are not to do that. Lead someone into doing something they have the liberty to do, but they believe it is sinful for them to do. We are not to be involved in those things. It is not loving. It is arrogant, selfish. Romans 14 and verse 14, I know, Paul said, and I'm convinced in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself, but in him, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. So we are not to lead others again into those matters of liberty that they believe are wrong for them to do until they mature enough so that they do them because they are convinced fully that they can do them. We are to display love by forgiving one another. Colossians 3 and verse 12, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. So we are to forgive each other. And it is hard many times for us to forgive each other, even though someone repents. We still hold on to fighting against them or being against them because of a sin. The man who had committed fornication with his father's wife had repented of that sin. And Paul had to write the Corinthians to forgive this man because God has forgiven him. You forgive him. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 6. Sufficient for such a one is this punishment which was inflicted by the majority, that is, withdrawing fellowship from one another, not eating with one another until the man saw the error of his way, praying for him and admonishing him, but not eating with him as if he were a faithful brother. He repented of those sins. And now verse 7, so that on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, such a one might be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Wherefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. Forgive him. Love this brother. Because God loves him and God is forgiven. And it may be the case, and we are warned, that if we are not willing to forgive those who turn to God and receive God's forgiveness, if we're not willing to forgive them, then God will not forgive us. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 and 15, we are to show love toward those who need to be saved by the gospel, by bringing the gospel to them, the message of salvation. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ, according to the flesh. Yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. So we are to show love to our neighbor by teaching them the gospel that they might turn and be saved. Verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. the great love that we show, we must be ready, always praying for, seeking opportunities, that a door may be opened, that we may lead others to Christ by His gospel before it is too late. We are to display love by meeting the physical needs of our neighbor, even if they are not Christians. Matthew 7 and verse 12, Jesus said, "In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets." What we call the golden rule. Jesus told a parable about a Jewish rabbi and a Jewish priest who passed by the wounded, apparently Jewish man, probably, who was robbed and beaten and left for dead on the way to Jericho. But a Samaritan did not pass by. What did he do in Luke 10:33? But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you." So the man had compassion, and we go back to our slide. The man had compassion to show toward the other, not just a dead sympathetic feeling, but an active compassion that acted for to meet the needs, the physical needs of the victim, his neighbor. Even if of a different culture, of a different nationality, of a different social position or economic position, it doesn't matter. The man was in need, and the Samaritan acted. And this is the way that we are to behave. Yes, we are to love God by obeying Him. That determines how we should love one another, because of what God has said, not our emotions. Jesus loved the Father perfectly, obeying all of His will. He loved the lost by teaching them the truth. He showed mercy and compassion by feeding the hungry, by also healing others, and by raising a son of a grieving woman from the dead. Jesus' greatest display of love, though, was dying on the cross for our sins. In order to become a Christian, which we call upon all to do now before it is ever too late, we must believe in Jesus enough to repent of our sins, confess Him as the Son of God, that He is God, along with the Father and the Son, Father and the Holy Spirit. They all three are God. That He has now been made Lord of heaven and earth, that is Jesus, after dying for our sins, being raised from the dead. Confessing that faith in Jesus, we are to be baptized, immersed in water in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. And that is when we become a child of God at baptism. And that is what we would encourage all to do today. If you would call, text, or email us, we would be glad to study about these things or to study by Zoom with you remotely or to refer you to others, even those in the local church who can study with you. We continue to be forgiven as Christians as we repent, confess our sins, and pray. That is what we read in Acts 8 and verse 22. And Acts, 1 John chapter 1, that we might continue to live as a Christian and grow in His grace and in His knowledge. We are to love one another as Jesus has loved us. The character of the Christian's love is shown in 1 Corinthians 13. We are to walk in love. We are to display love by teaching the gospel to our neighbor. Display love to our neighbors by meeting spiritual and physical needs. So we have an example of Jesus showing us how we must live and how we must be in this world. And as Christians, we are obligated to live like Jesus. And we learn how to live like Jesus by following the apostles' teaching. We would encourage all today to become a Christian if you have not done so, or if you have become a Christian in a way that is not found in the Word of God, like the sinner's prayer, where people are told to simply ask Jesus to come into our hearts to be saved, pray to God to forgive us. That is not how we become Christians, but through faith leading to repentance, confessing that faith in Jesus as the Son of God and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins, immersed in water in the name of Jesus, is how we become Christians, Acts chapters 2 and 8. And we would encourage you to do that, or before it is too late, contact us in any way that you can. We would be glad to answer your questions, study with you at any time. And those who are already Christians, let us continue to confess our sins, repent, and pray as the Scriptures teach. We would encourage you to respond, encourage all, whenever you may hear this, to respond to the gospel. Before it's ever too late, as today we draw our lesson to a close.